Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rock and roll week with you. This day is ours.
Oh, that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, 4 o'clock. The day before the primary, and I tell you what, we have Senator Billy O'Dell with us. Billy, you have been down there in Columbia just working to finish up things. You know, I heard a lot of hooting and hollering down there at the Senate when they rang the bell, but it's not really over, is it, down there?
No, we've got to go back the 19th, and we'll be addressing some issues that didn't get finished during the regular session. Should be down there maybe 2 days, and hopefully that'll be all we'll be there, and be able to take up conference committee reports to try to get these bills passed that were in the process of it and the time ended. Of course, we've got the governor's vetoes will probably come up at that time also. Also got to pass the complete budget. It is not passed yet, but it's in a conference committee.
Now, Billy, of course, you are in the primary tomorrow, so you of course, are looking at things that are out there. How do you feel? We had extra money in the budget this year that popped up, I guess, because people are doing a little better, businesses, sales tax collections and such. So how do you feel about that extra money? Where should we be spending it? Are you in agreeing that giving raises to certain groups that are there? And how should the money go?
Well, I agree that you know, we've been down since 07. And as far as the the agency heads, they have not had an increase since then. But the money has been spent wisely. We've put more money into SLED, which is we need all the law enforcement we can get. They were cut, I don't know, maybe 30-35% over the past few years. So we've got to maintain that law enforcement aspect of our budget, and we've got to put the money back to them so that they can enforce the laws. We also did the same thing with Department of Natural Resources. They've been cut back. We don't have the number of officers enforcing the law. Our wildlife, which is a big attraction in this state for tourism, and we've got to continue make sure that we continue the path that we've established over the years and bringing in people, because we do have good habitats here. We have good wildlife. We have good hunting. We have good fishing, but we can't maintain it if it's overfished or overhunted.
Now, of course, also it was brought up that teachers would get a 2% raise next year, all other state employees a 3% raise, and then state law enforcement officers would get a 5% for those making less than $50,000. How can we justify the 5% when we're only giving teachers 2?
Well, the teachers... I can't justify... Well, I don't want to say I can't justify. I think 2%... In the climate we're in now, teachers are still being laid off, as you might say. We cannot keep the number of teachers that we need in the classroom. Law enforcement, that's a different world. I mean, that they're putting their life on the line every day. I mean, anytime they stop a car or go to a domestic dispute, they could be killed. I don't have any problem giving them 5%. I think it's a good idea. I'm glad we were able to do 2% for the teachers. What we did do, the House mandated a 2% increase, but some of the, like in our district here, District 50, they had already been, you know, raising their teachers along. They didn't have the money for this 2% that was mandated. The House didn't put the money to it, so the Senate put $47 million in there to take care of the 2% so that no school district is going to be punished as a result of this mandated raise.
So this is coming from the state, so they have,
yeah.
So all across the board, regardless of what has been being done in each school district.
Some districts could not afford to raise their teachers, but then so the House mandated that they raise them at least 2%, but they didn't put the money to it. So the Senate said, no, this is not right. We can't put that burden on the school districts. So we took the money out of the surplus money, as you call it, $47 million, to put in to make sure that districts wouldn't be punished as a result of the 2% mandate.
Sure. Now, you know, one of the things that seems to be has been a big issue this year has, of course, been the retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big issue. A couple of weeks ago, we had Curtis, our state treasurer, on. In fact, I don't know if you know, but in Sunday's New York Times, there was a big write-up about what Curtis had to say, an article on Wall Street, and how they do things up there. So he's, of course, looking for more transparency on Wall Street. What do you think, Billy?
I agree with him 100%. I think he is a breath of fresh air, and I think he's doing a wonderful job as treasurer. He's disliked somewhat because he's trying to show, why are we spending all of this money on people out of state? Why are we spending the money with the New York boys that, I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars just for their advice and their what they're trying to tell us how we should invest our money. We aren't ignorant, totally ignorant in South Carolina. We have qualified people here that can help us invest. I don't think, we probably don't have anyone that could handle the whole $27 billion, but we've got people that are qualified that will be able to tell us how we could invest that money for a better return, a safer return. And that's what Curtis is trying to do, and I think he's exactly right, and I applaud him for what he's doing.
Now, the retirement fund, of course, has come in under a lot of scrutiny, and, of course, they've had to make some changes to the retirement fund based on the fact of, lack of funds, right?
Well, that's correct. See, the recession caught everybody. I mean, we were doing okay until this recession came, but the return came down to maybe 3.5%. And what they were basing their projections on was a 7 or 7.5%. Well, that's a big spread, so they lost, actually, the retirement fund lost money. And they say we've got this $14 billion liability, and that's true to a certain extent. That's saying that everybody retires on the same day at the same time. We couldn't pay them. No business could do that.
Sure.
You know, it's just
absolutely
a business issue.
Right.
I want to bring it on down to where we can have a decent liability, you might say. But again, if you base it on everybody retiring at the same time, the whole world's going to be gone anyway, so what the heck?
We'd just be like Greece, right?
It'd be exactly, well, probably worse.
Yeah, exactly. So now they have made some changes for retirement for future.
I think we've made some very good changes. Some people don't like it, but I think, you know, the Terry plan will be phased out by the year 2018. Other changes in there are beneficial to help the account have stability, and I think we're in good shape there with the package we've got, and that hasn't passed yet, but it will probably pass when we go back on the 19th.
Now, of course, one of the issues that is always an issue, and we've seen it particularly, I'm going to say, in Washington, D.C., the butting heads, mm-hmm. No working together. How have you felt things have done down in Columbia this year, particularly in the Senate, since you're in the Senate?
I would say that it was a better year this year than it was the prior year. We have the same problem. We've got people that are going to vote no on every issue unless a certain group tells them that's the way they want them to vote. I've always tried to be in the mainstream and try to think for myself somewhat and try to understand exactly what's going to projection might be, and I don't always vote with that crowd, so they don't like me too much.
They don't like you too much?
No.
Well, you know, I think that I think in a lot of parts of whether it's Congress or even some on the state level, we've lost the issue of compromise.
Well, you know, Anna, that's a dirty word with this group. Compromise. You can't do that. But I don't know how you get anything done. I've been a businessman all my life. You know, when I go in to sell a customer, I've got a certain price in my mind that I'd love to get. And you probably run into the same thing in your business. I might not get it, but, you know, if I can come down a little bit or whatever, or go up a little bit, that's compromise.
Sure.
And that's the way politics must work. I'm not going to give up my integrity for something, but I can probably give a little bit on an issue in order to get something accomplished. And if we don't get anything accomplished, we don't need to be there.
Exactly. And you do spend a pretty long time during the year from, what, January through June?
Oh, yeah.
4 days a week?
Well, actually, we go down on Tuesday and come home on Thursday, but sometimes those Thursdays drag out for a long time and those Tuesdays and Wednesday nights drag out. But really, I don't care what anybody says. It's not a part-time job. I'm fortunate. My children are running my business and my partner, and I don't have a lot of heavy lifting to do there, so I have enough free time to where I try to do good constituent service, and I think that's one of the most important things we can do.
Good constituent service. Well, we are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, if you've got a question for Senator Billy Odell, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rock and roll.
That's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We have Senator Billy Odell, and of course, he is in the primary tomorrow, so we are sitting here talking about some of the issues before us. You know, Billy, some people are kind of concerned about the size of the budget, but what do you have to say about, you know, this extra money? There's been discussion that should this money have been returned? What do you do when you have extra surplus in the budget?
Well, you know, for example, Department of Education General Zayas, there was $177 million that was supposed to come to South Carolina to put into our educational system.
Mm-hmm.
All states got a certain percentage based on their per capita. He refused to take the money. So the other 49 states divided that $177 million among themselves. Now, we pay federal taxes, so we're going to be paying for that. But we didn't get any results. That would have helped keep teachers in school, help the schools. But because he opposes taking federal money, he sent it back.
Why is that?
He's one of these folks, I assume, that's kind of like my opponent, that thinks that you should not take federal money. But, you know, based on Social Security, Medicare, things of that nature, that there's a lot of that's based on federal money. I don't think we should send it all back, and they seem to think that we should, and that's why our budget, as he alluded to, is $21-22 billion. Our state money in 2011 was $5.3 billion. That's what we allocated towards agencies and state government. Most of the federal money that comes into play in South Carolina has strings attached to it. A lot of it goes to education. A lot of it goes to the health care. So do we send it back and tell our people we can't put you in a nursing home? We can't afford to. We're going to send the money back to the feds and let them give it to California.
Well, what is the general feeling down there in the Senate, since you're in the Senate? What's the general feeling about sending money back? Should we be totally independent? Should we secede from the union?
No, we tried. We tried that. It wasn't very successful. I don't think the second kick at a mule is too good. So I don't think I'd want to do that. I think we need to take federal money because we pay federal taxes.
But what about the strings that are attached to it, Billy?
Well, there's nothing that has to be addressed at the federal level. That's where our federal legislators must try to do something about the strings attached. Nothing we can do on the state level. They're not going to listen to anything I've got to say at the federal level.
Actually, what was it, a year or 2 years ago when we had to take federal money to help with, what was it?
Well, it was the stimulus money that you've heard so much about. I think it was a total, South Carolina got around $700 million. And again, that was most of that was used in the health care and education in our state. Again, we could have sent that back, but the other 49 states would have divided it up, and we would have helped them pay it back with our federal taxes. So whatever reasoning you want to use and say we shouldn't have taken it, it doesn't resound with me. If I'm going to have to pay for something, I certainly want to get a return on it.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't make sense to send money back when you're going to have to pay it back and not get a return.
Absolutely. Now, let's see. I've got a question came in from Marvin Shirley. Zayas should not have that power. Is he nuts? We should have those dollars. Okay, Billy, it's a question that comes in over the air here.
Well, he has the authority based on the fact that he was elected as Secretary of Education, whether to sign a document or not, accepting the money. He refused to sign it, and that's why it was sent back. I mean, I know that there was a lot of pressure put upon him to take the money, but it was his call.
All right, and then Marvin Shirley says, asks, what can you point to and say that, quote, that bill defines what I stand for? And also, he wanted to know, what business did you have?
Well, you know, I can't think of a particular bill that I could point to and say that's what I stand for. What I do stand for is my constituents. I give good constituent services. They've got a problem with government, and a lot of people do. I try to cut to the chase and get things done. I can't solve every problem, but I certainly try, and I have solved a lot of them. The business that I'm in, I was a mop and broom manufacturer in Weir Shoals, and came back and took over my dad's business back in the late 60s. He had a heart attack, and I came back to close the business and remain. He had two people working for him, and now we have 130 working, so it's been pretty good for us.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of that and employees and everything, this is maybe a little bit off the side, but we've got some hefty things that could be coming our way, such as the health care bill and this type of thing. As an employer, what do you see, Billy?
Well, I'm very concerned because it's in limbo land. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I think it's in the Supreme Court of the United States right now, and we don't know. I mean, I have not seen my insurance premiums go down in the last 2 or 3 years, or the last 2 years since this bill was originally passed. I think it was passed too quickly, and I think that there's a lot of study needs to be done before we get into this. Well, you know, if you think about it, we kind of have that type. With Medicaid, that takes care of a lot of the problems that he's addressing. This thing of mandating a certain amount of money that you've got to pay for each business, a lot of small business people can't accept that.
Absolutely. And yes, you've got did you say, 130?
Yeah.
Do you offer health care?
Oh, yeah. I've offered it for 30 years. Well, I've always had it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the right thing to do when I started growing some, and we've always had it, and it's available. Costly, yes, but it's there.
And it's gotten more costly.
More costly, oh, yeah. My company used to pay the whole thing. We can't do it anymore.
Sure. So that is an issue, but as far as what can you say about, what do you stand for, Billy O'Dell?
I stand for, I'm a conservative in nature. I think good fiscal sound policy is the best way. I'm not going to vote for something or try to promote something that would hurt the state or particularly hurt my area, District 4. I'm going to do everything I can to promote District 4, if that's in tourism, industry, whatever I can to create jobs. That's one of the most important things we can do at this point, is bring in industry to create jobs. Because without jobs, people are going to lose their homes, the state's going to get poorer and poorer. And I'm not so certain that that's what some people would like to see, that our state remain a backward state. I am a progressive as far as trying to promote this state, and it takes money to do that.
Absolutely, it does. Now, when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Billy O'Dell about the issues that have been down there this year, some of the things that Billy would like to see futuristically as far as he's been down there in the Senate, so he knows how it works, and I think that's a big advantage for him, but also what he sees futuristically coming down the pike, because that is something that you always have to be concerned about. So you stay right with us right here on WCRS. News from South Carolina is coming up, so don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
From trash to treasures along a country road. Do you love classic country? Do you love to hear the old stuff that nobody plays? Well, we do on Saturday mornings, 9:30 to 12. Yes, it's From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. You'll be sure to hear songs you haven't heard for ages and remember all the good times you had. So tune in on Saturday mornings to Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. Road. I'm Ann Eller. I'll be there. How about you? On WCRS 1450 AM, 9:30 to 12, and on the internet at WLMA.net. Check it out on Saturday, 9:30 to 12, only on WCRS 1450 AM. Classic country, from trash to treasures along a country road.
Here, Sharp, Fast as Gal. We've got a lot of questions coming in, Billy. Billy, we're here with Senator Billy Odell about Zeisen turning down the money, superintendent of the school systems. We had a call from Jack Landrum. How can somebody turn down funds where it is legislature that passes money bills?
Jack's correct on that. The we handle the the House begins the budget, and that's state money. This is federal money that he turned down. We have no control over federal money, how it's spent, what strings are tied to it, or whatever. I think we did pass a resolution asking the Secretary of Education to accept the money, but it was his call. He could do it or not do it, and he didn't do it.
That's right. Well, it's hard to get a West Point grad to change his mind once he's made it up, I think.
Well, particularly a general.
General.
I think sometimes they have all the answers at times.
All right. Well, we'll, I guess, let that one lie. But that puts a lot more pressure on the state, doesn't it, to cover the education?
Well, of course. I mean, like I say, I saw in the paper this week or last week where in District 50 they're going to be laying off more people, more employees. I think if they'd have received the 100, we could have put more teachers in the classroom, which is what we need to do, because I understand the classrooms are really crowded now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to, if we're going to continue improving education, you're going to have to cut those class sizes down and allow the teachers to teach.
Absolutely. Now, school choice was one of the issues mm-hmm. that was in front. Now, did that pass or didn't pass? I'm not really sure.
It did not pass. It came out, of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And I was accused of blocking the bill. We didn't take the bill up until I was accused early on of blocking the school choice bill. I'd made no comment on it. Hadn't even seen the bill. It came out of the House. It came
Why
to.
Why would you be accused of that, Billy?
Well, it just makes good press, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I should have had the right to at least examine the bill and see what it called for. As I understand it, Nat, it takes $37 million out of the general fund, which would, of course, you're going to take that $37 million out of the general fund, so you're going to have to cut some agencies and other items there somewhere. And again, that's going to have to be looked at. Who are you going to cut? I mean, we just don't go down there willy-nilly start saying, all right, we're going to cut you 10%, we're going to cut you 5%. You try to make a good decision. But when you take the money out of the general fund, it's got to be taken from somebody after the budget's already gone. It came to the Senate Finance, which I'm on, and I guess maybe that's the reason they said that I blocked it. I wish I had that power. I'm not the chairman of Senate Finance. I'm just a member. And for some reason, I got blamed for it. But then
was your turn?
I think I was targeted for that.
Okay.
But anyway, it went to a subcommittee. The subcommittee reported it out without a recommendation to the full committee. The full committee passed it out, which I am a member of that full committee. We passed it out without a recommendation. So
what does that mean?
It means that it's coming out and it'll be debated on the floor. On the floor of the Senate.
So you're not saying we should or should
not
do that. It's totally open. That's what you're saying.
That's right. And that's when your advocates can promote it, and the ones against it can go against it.
Sure.
And that's where it should be. I mean, that's where all legislation is passed. Just because the House passes a bill doesn't mean the Senate is going to rubber stamp it. And I don't think the people of this district want us to rubber stamp everything that comes out of the House, and vice versa. I don't think they want their House members to rubber stamp Senate bills. So it's a debating thing where you try to advocate your position, and or the proponents will do that, and then the people that are against it will, of course,
sure.
put their position
but that,
forward.
But what happened to it? Nothing.
Time ran out.
Okay.
It only came out. Well, it was on the floor last week, so the time ran out. It knew we never to get to it.
So that'll be something that comes up next year, I guess.
It will have to be reintroduced and debated again, go through the committee process. But apparently it will probably have some momentum now that it's gone as far as it has. But some people are impatient. They want everything to go right now, my way.
Sure. Now, you know, another big issue, of course, is the port.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that y'all did down there, I do believe, is you set aside some bond money should the federal government not come through with the funds that it should be coming through with.
Well, what we did, Ed, of course, now part of that money, that surplus money that people refer to, $180 million of that is in the budget for the dredging of the port. So it's going to cost about $300 million to dredge the port. The federal government is supposed to give us the mandate for the dredging. We don't know whether they're going to do it or not.
Is that because why?
Because they're cutting back, and the federal government's cutting back also. They're cutting some things. So we're not certain if they're going to be able to continue what they have done in the past. So what we said, all right, we want the whole world to know that we're going to dredge this port.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the $120 million right now. We need it maybe 2 years from now. So we're going to go ahead and get this legislation through that will authorize a $120 million bond bill strictly for dredging the port. If the federal government comes through with their $120 million, then we don't issue the bonds. It's pretty simple.
Sure.
But we want the world to know that Charleston Port is going to be ready to take the Panamax ships. When I went into office, Charleston was the third best seaport on the East Coast. We're 14th now. And there's a variety of reasons for that. And we do not want to get back to that status. We want to progress and get our port back to where it should be. Because the upstate depends on the port.
The whole state does. But there is a lot of people sometimes don't think that the port is that important up here in the upstate.
Exactly. And, our industry, BMW, Fuji, First Quality in Anniston, they all depend on the port. That's one reason the industry comes to our state, is because of the Port of Charleston. And if we're going to mess around and let us deteriorate because of politics, then we're in bad shape.
Absolutely. So you're saying that we have the money. Now, will we go ahead and start on the port like next year? Or we have $180 million.
We have the money to begin the dredging process.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is you can't use it all at one time. So we're saying, all right, 2 years from now, if the feds don't give us $120 million, we got a backup plan. We're gonna issue these bonds. And I think the people of South Carolina, if they understand what we're doing, they'll agree with that.
Sure. So taking $180 million was taken out of the overage?
The surplus money is out here, the surplus money, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's part of the process. They keep saying we got $1 billion of surplus money. We don't. Like that $180 million, the $47 million for education. I mean, there's all kind of places that you're putting money to bring the system back up to par.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's very tough. It's not easy.
You know, I have often said that you take a group of people that may not all be budget experts and all this type of stuff, put them together and expect them to come up with an answer that is a legitimate, true budget. And on top of that, we are supposed to have a balanced budget down there in
South
Carolina.
We're mandated to have a balanced budget. The only debt we have in South Carolina is our bond debt. The last bond bill that was passed was 1999. That was for $750 million. That has been paid way down. We could issue all kind of bonds if we so desired. That's not South Carolina. We don't want debt. We don't want to be like the federal government. So we're not like the federal government. We have maintained a good, secure AAA credit rating. I'm proud of that. I'm proud I've been a part of that. There's only about 10, 11 states in the union that have a AAA credit rating, and we're going to maintain that.
Absolutely. Now, we just had a call come in, Jill Sammons, I think it is. Can you say that you read bills that you vote on?
I can say that I read some of it. Some of them are beyond my comprehension. I get advice. I ask people, what does this mean? I don't know. It could be some people that are smart enough to understand everything that comes in every bill. And when we're dealing with 500 and 600 bills in a session, it's difficult. But I look at bills. I try to understand them, understand what the implications are, what is going to cause, what problems it might cause down the road, or how will it help down the road. And that's the way I usually vote.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a call for Senator Billy O'Dell, he is in District 4, which is, of course, our district, heads all the way up to Anderson. It's a pretty good-sized district.
It's a big district. It's pretty long. I've got an old 03 car, and I've got over 200,000 miles on it, and I've been riding a lot in the district.
Absolutely. So if you have a question for Billy, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are on.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
And, Billy, we were just talking about, number one, the size of the district. It's a big district going all the way up to Anderson and Ware Shoals and then part of the Greenwood area, correct?
That's correct. Actually, it goes all the way up to Piedmont, which is almost on the borders of Greenwood County line up there. And we go to Star and Iva. I've got 13 municipalities in District 4, and they all have different problems. So, you have to work with them.
Absolutely. But we just had a guy call in, Jack Thomas. He says he's not in your district but likes a rep that is a businessman and drives an 03 as long as it isn't a Rolls.
Well, it's not a Rolls because I don't know where you get it worked on around here. I have to have a little upkeep on my old car.
That's right. So thanks for calling in, Jack. And then we had Jack. Well, we talked about, I guess, how does someone turn down funds? Yeah, we already talked about that one. Okay, we have the questions in here. One of the questions, though, when we were talking about the port and everything that came to mind for me, was the infrastructure of our roads and bridges here in South Carolina. As you're talking about getting the port ready to be able to handle the ships and everything, we got to be able to get the stuff down there to the coast from the upstate. And some of our roads are getting in bad condition, and there's bridges out there that are not good.
You're exactly right. And unfortunately, our state used to have the reputation of having the best roads around, particularly in Georgia and North Carolina. They've overtaken us now. They've got much better systems than we do. One of the reasons is they have a much higher gas tax than we do. We are either second or third in the nation with the lowest gas tax, and that's where DOT gets their money. I think we get about 14 or 15 cents a gallon, the DOT does, for maintaining roads.
And the president and such are happy that we're driving less.
Yeah, true.
That causes a problem.
Really, it does.
Yes.
If it was a sales tax or something that floated with the price of gasoline, then you would have a much better system in order to keep your infrastructure up to date. But that's not the case, and I'm afraid we're going to have to address this at some point and try to figure out a way to do a better job as far as maintaining our roads, because the industry's not going to come here if we don't have a good road system. And one thing that we are doing, I think, is we're trying to maintain the interstates, because we're taking that federal money that helps maintain it. For every dollar they sent us, every dollar we put in, they give us $3 on maintenance. So that helps bring back some of the money that we're sending to Washington for on our highways. Because as I understand it, we're a donor state. We actually send more money to Washington than we get in return for our highway system. I think
we're just on the short end of the stick.
Well,
why don't we turn around here, Billy?
We are. But when you got delegations like California and New York that kind of control a lot of aspects of where the money goes, that we don't have but 7 members in the House and 2 in the Senate, of course. And we've got a very strong senator, I think, 2 very strong senators, and I think that they're doing a good job in representing us. I think that we're just going to have to continue to push towards trying to get some equity in how the federal government awards the money to different states. But again, with big delegations, it's hard to do.
Absolutely. Now, of course, one of the questions that has come up is you, of course, have been in the Senate for a while, mm-hmm. and you know, one of the questions is, why do you want to go back again?
Well, you know, it hasn't been all bad, and it hasn't been all good, but I'm more or less retired now from my business, and I have the time to put into it. And I've enjoyed trying to recruit industry, see some things happen for the benefit of our state. And I want to continue that. I think that I get kicked around because I believe that we have to do incentives in order to bring business into the area. I want to continue that, and I don't think some other folks don't. I think if we cut those incentives out, we're going to be dead in the water as far as our Department of Commerce is concerned.
So incentives, you know, we had the incentive for Amazon when they came
mm-hmm.
here. That
mm-hmm.
was a big one. That was a big subject of
right.
discussion. In fact, at one time it didn't pass, and then it did pass.
That's right.
Other things like that is what you're saying?
No, I think that's one of the incentive packages that I opposed, because I thought it was unfair to small business, and I opposed it vigorously in the Senate. As a matter of fact, I was with the crowd that I'm not normally with in opposing that bill. We held it up for a day or two, but eventually it passed because there was so much pressure on the people for the job creation aspect of it. But I still think it was unfair to some of our smaller businesses, and I hate to say that the job creation wasn't good, because I think it was good.
Sure.
But I believe if we'd have held out a little bit longer, we might have been able to get them to come anyway, because we've got a lot to offer in this state, and a lot of people, the industry, wants to come here because we've got people that want to work, and we've also got a good climate, just a good place to be. And some of these bigger industries have recognized that. Matter of fact, they've told me that. Michelin told me that. They like it here.
Absolutely. And, of course, we've got Boeing, and we've got all the tire places. I mean, you know, that can become the tire capital of the world.
We are the tire capital. With the two new expansions at Bridgestone and the Continental and Sumter, we're going to be the tire capitals of the country.
Well, in knowing the district here, whether it's up there in Anderson or all the way down here into Greenwood, what type of industry are we trying to get here in this area?
I work real strong with Mark Warner, and I think he's doing a great job for the Greenwood Partnership. But let me mention this. This is one thing that we just passed, just got it passed, I think, last week. It's what we call the Data Center Bill. And what this means is we're going to give these folks a certain incentive to come into this state. They will have to create at least 25 jobs, paying $50,000 to $60,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Our sister state, North Carolina, has 27 of these centers now because they did the incentive package with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got a clawback with them. If they don't create the jobs, then they don't get the incentive. Then we'll get the money back. But what's so important about this, it requires no infrastructure. We've got Duke Power is a strong power grid in our state, and that's what they're looking for. It doesn't. They can take an old shopping center and put this data center in there. To me, that's a win-win. We don't have to spend any money on them, give them a little incentive, and they're going to pay it back within a short time. So that's a very important bill that we just got passed. Greenwood would be ideal for that. Anything in District 4 would be ideal for a data center, because we've got abandoned shopping centers.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, and those things, and you put people to work, it's just a great deal.
That would be like the data center that's down there at the mall now. I can't.
Well, I know what you're talking about, but it wouldn't be, that's a call center.
Right.
But it'd be similar to that. But it would be a data center where they bring in the information with these computers and all that stuff. It just takes a lot of electricity.
Ah, okay.
Google is a good example.
Okay.
That would be one.
That would be one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because, you know, that is the subject. And, you know, the other thing is, as small businesses, I'm talking about businesses
mm-hmm.
less than 10,
mm-hmm.
we are the ones that really are struggling
sure.
here with the tax structure. And did anything happen this year on redoing the tax code?
Oh, yeah. We reduced the tax on small business. I think it's 5% now. And our initial proposition was to drop it down to 4% next year and eventually down to 3%. But I believe, from what I've heard, now again, the budget hasn't passed, but the House has dropped it even further than that, maybe down to 2%, and making it more immediate.
So this, we are looking at changing the tax code to make it more business friendly.
Yeah, more business friendly, particularly for small business.
That's good, because that's an issue right there. Well, let's see. We got another question here. Carla Mitten is at Lander. She's a professor there. We need to think beyond just gas and move towards how to determine use. Electric cars, natural gas are going to get bigger. What do you think, Billy?
I think you're right, and I think we've seen that some of the non-carbon issues, we're seeing a decrease in price. Solar energy is decreasing, and I think it will, as it becomes more and more, the technology becomes more and more available, it will decrease even more. We tried very hard, and I was a leader on this, to pass a solar energy bill this year. They get a 25% incentive or tax break already, and we wanted to raise it to 35% in order to enhance them coming into our state. A good example of this, Boeing, when they building their plant in Charleston, they put in all the solar panels. North Carolina got the business because we had no one here to do it. And that's why we need to do things like this and make sure that we get particularly with
more self-sufficient in our state.
Yeah. And it would,
so we can secede from the Union someday, see?
No, we don't do that. But I think that, you know, by doing this, this is going to put more pressure on the oil industry to be more competitive. We're controlled by the Arabs at present. They control the oil.
If we ever get our own pipeline, maybe we would.
Well, we need that pipeline out of North Dakota, where they've got it stopped up there, but that needs to be done. You know, we need to use the resources we have here as long as we're not going to pollute the atmosphere or the environment.
Absolutely. You know, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I do have Senator Billy O'Dell. That's who you've been listening to this last hour. Billy, I'm going to give you 2 minutes here at the end just to tell people why you should be returned to Columbia there and remain our senator from District 4.
Well, Lynn, I don't know that I can tell you in 2 minutes, but I'll try. I think that I've, as I said before, my interest has been constituent service. I think we have people call me all the time, and usually, not usually, but some of the times I can help them solve a problem. And I do, and I enjoy doing that. I like to help people. I think that the fact that I've been involved in trying to create jobs within District 4 has been very enjoyable to me, and I think I've been fairly successful. I have the experience, and I believe that I have a little knowledge. I learn something every day. So the fact that I've been in Columbia so long doesn't mean that I'm still not learning something. And I think it takes time. You have to learn the way things are handled in Columbia and try to work with the people and get things done for your people. And that I would like to continue doing that. I hope the people will look at me favorably tomorrow. And I know it's going to be a rainy day, but I'd appreciate the folks getting out and trying to vote.
Absolutely. You know, that is one of the things. People do need to get out and vote. There is nothing worse than to run a primary. It costs the same amount of money whether we have 100 people or 1,000 people turn out. So let's everybody turn out and vote tomorrow.
And on that line, there's so much apathy in people talk about. That's why you see all the money that's spent on elections. It's trying to get people out to vote, and it shouldn't be that way in this country. We ought to be proud to go out and vote.
Absolutely. Also, we'll take 1 minute here and just discuss this. I think it is a travesty that so many people were kicked off who were trying to sign up and be part of the solution, and yet had to be an issue of bad communication that they couldn't have resolved this issue.
I agree with you, and we tried to pass legislation this year to address that after it came public, but we were blocked by certain members of the Senate, so I can't say any more about that. But I think that Greenwood did very well. Connie Moody did a great job.
Yes, she did.
And that's the way it should be handled. She's a professional. She runs the election board, and we should be signing up with election commissioners, not party presidents or chairman or whatever they're called of these parties. I just think that they don't have the know-how Or if they had the know-how, they didn't know how then because we had too many people kicked off.
Changing the laws, absolutely. Well, Billy O'Dell, good luck tomorrow, and let's get everybody out to vote. Thanks so much for coming, Billy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. We're going to join the news in progress, and then I think I've got a special guest that will be here in just a few minutes. Don't you go away. Is he here? Okay. Tinsley is in the building. We're going to sit down and talk. Don't you go away.